Today we're going to be talking about why Holy Spirit. And then I got it in parentheses underneath, fleshly Christianity. You know, if you read your Bible, there actually is a thing called fleshly Christianity. If you use the New King James or the Old King James, we would call it carnal Christianity. And it sounds like really weird or mean or condemning, but it's not. Do you know that we condemn ourselves? We've talked about this many times in here. Wouldn't you rather have some, if you have a problem in your life and you don't know what it is, wouldn't you rather somebody that loves you, somebody that you know has earned the right to speak into your life, wouldn't you want them to tell you if you really want to fix it? That's how you should receive everything from the Word of God. Not when you read it and you're like, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Oh, I failed so miserably. Just going, let the Word change your mind. And that word, change your mind, is repentance. So when we see repent in the Bible, there doesn't have to be all this guilt and shame and condemnation. Just going, oh, I never saw it there before, or I didn't know. Now I know. Now I can change my mind and do that. We should receive anything and everything in Scripture as God wants to reveal more to us, because it may or may or it will fix problems in your life. And this is one of them. The Holy Spirit is. And this is so sad to say, the Holy Spirit is like one of the most controversial persons of the Godhead of the Trinity in the body of Christ today. And brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. It is because people associate weirdness with it, or if we talk too much about Holy Spirit, then you're automatically in the Pentecostal or charismatic or Vineyard, or, you know, it's Bethel Church, and there's all this negative stuff. And the reason that there's negative stuff attached to it is because there's a whole group of Christians out there that are basically saying the gifts have not continued, or they have, but we just don't really see them anymore because we have the Word of God. We don't really need sign gifts anymore. And then it's not enough for them to say that non-biblical doctrine. They go the step further to accuse us who believe that biblical doctrine and live it as heresy or heretics or false teachers or false prophets. I love Pastor Bill Johnson out of Bethel Church. He's like, I get called a false prophet all the time. And he's like, I don't understand it because I'm not a prophet at all. He's like, I'm a pastor. So he's like, if you're going to call me something false, at least get it right. But the problem is that we are so concerned about doctrine, and we've formed camps and denominations and all of these things that we don't even realize Satan has used to separate us. This is why the church is not strong today, and I'm not coming down on the church, but I'm saying we do not have major influence in culture because that we are divided. You ever heard the term divide and conquer? If the church was one, if we would just come together and go, hey, let's just read the Bible, let's look at Jesus, see what Jesus did. Jesus said, I want to make disciples, means he wanted to replicate himself, and so the most simplistic ideology that we could have is we're just supposed to be Jesus in the earth because he gave us his Spirit. If we left it there and nowhere else, we would be a force to be reckoned with in the earth. But we're so concerned about, well, what do you believe about communion? And what do you believe about baptism? And what about this? And what about this? And you know, a pastor shouldn't dress like this. Somebody said amen. Thanks a lot. But right? I mean, I'm pretty sure when Jesus and the disciples were walking, they had one set of clothes and that was it. Like, we get caught up in the crazy stuff instead of going, let's just come together and be one and be Christ in the earth. But here's the hard truth, is that you cannot be Christ in the earth without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know how I know that? Because Jesus didn't do one miracle, one sign. He did not begin his ministry until he himself was baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know how else I know that? Is that the disciples, he told them before he was to ascend into heaven, after he had been crucified and resurrected, He says, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until I endow you with power. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Then you will be my witnesses. So, again, am I against people telling other people about Jesus? No, of course not. But I would say, biblically speaking, nobody has a right to tell anybody about Jesus until you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Because why would he do that? Why wouldn't he tell the apostles, just go out. Some of you can receive the Spirit. It's kind of an optional thing. I don't know. But you know, it's okay. Some of you want to stay, some of you go. He says, do not go anywhere and tarry, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Some of you may be hearing this for the first time. Like, that's in the Bible? Yes. He says it in Luke. He also says it in Acts, the beginning of Acts chapter 1. And then he talks about, at the end of Mark, that these signs will follow those who believe. So I talk to people all the time. Well, I don't believe that we can just, you know, do miracle signs and wonders. I believe we have to pray, I have to believe. I don't believe that these things happen today. I'm like, cool, it won't work for you. Because it says these signs will follow those who believe. If you don't believe signs and wonders are going to happen today, then don't get mad if they don't, because you don't believe it. It's the same thing, like when people someday they find themselves in hell and they're like, well, what am I doing here? Well, you had the chance to believe in Jesus. Well, I didn't believe in Jesus. That's why you're there. Like, it comes down to, would everybody agree that it comes down to faith? But you know, we don't need to get into weird stuff of going, I didn't have enough faith or this and this. Do you know that in all throughout the Gospels, Jesus healed unbelievers? There were no Christians yet, right? He was beginning his ministry. They were Jewish people. They did believe in God, but they didn't believe in him. Now, they may have heard that he healed people. They may have heard that he was a prophet. What did they say? Who do the people, Jesus said, who do they say that I am? Some say Elijah. Some say a prophet. And he says, who do you say that I am? And then Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what I want to show you in Scripture today is that the Holy Spirit should not be optional for Christians. Let me make something very clear, because otherwise I may have a line of people going, did you say that if I don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm going to hell? No. I'm going to show you in Scripture today that there are lots of Christians who have believed on the name of Jesus, who have had their sins washed away by the blood. They are now cleansed white as snow. Their ticket has been stamped for heaven. But do you understand that when your sins have been forgiven, you've been washed white as snow, your passport has been stamped to heaven? You know what that's for? The next life. The Holy Spirit is for this life. You don't need the Holy Spirit when you go to heaven, because you'll have a new body. And it says, as we behold Jesus, we will know fully as we are fully known. The Holy Spirit is not for the next life. And in fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has been given as a down payment. And we did a teaching one time to talk about that word in the current Greek culture of the time had the equivalent of an engagement ring. So when it says that he gives us the Holy Spirit, he says, you, church, are my bride, but we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. But until then, I'm giving you an engagement ring, because you're mine. And the signet of you walking in the Holy Spirit is proof that you belong to me. So the Holy Spirit is for this life. That's what I'm saying. That I'm not out here to judge people and say that they're not going to heaven. It says that the blood of Jesus is the one that forgives our sins. But the Holy Spirit is for power. The Holy Spirit is for signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit is for you to live this Christian life that is impossible to live. It doesn't say the fruits of Jesus are. It says the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. So I'm laying a foundation before we get into the Scripture of why you need the Holy Spirit. It's not optional. People will say, well, yeah, but when I went under the water, I heard them say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just because somebody says the words doesn't mean that you received it. Did you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Did you know that the Bible says that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. That's what Jesus said. And when John was baptizing, he said, I baptize with water, but one is coming after me that I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. People are always like, what's the fire? Well, in Acts, tongues of fire appeared on their head, but I believe that that fire is, the, again, we talked about last week, the raging inferno that's going to be on the inside of you. Fire is also to burn out any impurities and to be able to perfect you in your walk. Again, I'm not talking about forgiveness of sins. Christians that have believed on Jesus, who have had their sins forgiven, are going to heaven. That's what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, that's for the next life. The Holy Spirit is for this life. We haven't even started the message yet. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. We're actually going to go through the whole chapter. I'm not going to teach line upon line. I just want you to get to see the idea that Christians without the Holy Spirit is what the Bible calls natural or fleshly or carnal. That's not condemnation. That's recognize the situation. Okay? Because we're not into condemnation here. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, you're not condemned. So look, we need to stop condemning ourselves. If Jesus, if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is not condemning us, why do we think we have the right to condemn ourselves? Paul is telling the Corinthians a reality. So 1 Corinthians 2, again, I wasn't going to create like 25 slides, so you guys will have to read it in YouVersion or your physical Bibles because they're not in your notes either. So this says Paul's reliance upon the Spirit. I want to give it a little context because we're jumping into chapter 2. If you don't know this, the letters in the New Testament was one long letter. We divided it up into chapters and verses so we could make reference to the things in the letter. So we've already gone well into the letter because this is chapter 2. So I want to tell you where we're jumping in at. Paul has heard from somebody who visited the Corinthian church that basically people were carnal. And what was going on, and this may seem silly, but it's really not silly because if you roll in enough Christian circles, people will say like, oh, I really like this teacher. And you're like, that teacher. I am of this teacher. Or, I mean, and just throwing around, like somebody's like, well, you know, I'm under Bill Johnson's teaching. Oh, well, I'm under Andrew Womack's teaching. Well, I'm under Todd White's teaching. I'm under Dan Moeller's teaching. And basically, Paul's like, what is going on? He says, is Christ divided? Did, and he refers to himself in the third person. He goes, did Paul? Was Paul crucified on the cross for your sins? He's saying everyone is teaching the same thing. But we get into these things where like, and I'm not saying you can't have your favorite teachers, but this whole thing where it becomes like a contest or we have to divide and going, oh, well, that person listens to them, so I can't associate it with them. And so there were people at the Corinthian church. Some had been baptized by Apollos. Some had been baptized by Paul. Some had been baptized by, it says in your Bibles, Cephas, but that's Peter. And they're getting into these cliques and going, hey, all the people that are baptized by Peter, come over here. Like, we've got the anointing. Peter baptized us. And we even get into that in churches today. Well, I need to go here because I want brother so-and-so to lay hands on me because he's just the anointed of God. The anointing is the Holy Spirit, and if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, every person has the anointing on them. 1 John chapter 2 calls the Holy Spirit the anointing. And if some people think, well, some people's anointings are stronger than others, some people's gifts are more on display than others. You can have someone who's just as anointed as, let's say, Bill Johnson at Bethel Church as the person who's in the nursery holding the babies. It's, again, we as human beings see certain positions and just think, oh, they must just have such a great anointing on them. It's called the anointing, and it's the Holy Spirit. So I'm saying that's where we're breaking into this. So Paul is addressing this issue that that's come to his ear about how people are getting into cliques, are saying, well, I was baptized by this person. Well, you were baptized by this person, so this person's greater. And it seems like nonsense, but it happens in the church more than you think. It may not be about who got baptized by who, but would you agree that it's natural, normal human tendency to want to be better than other people, one-up yourself over somebody else, create cliques? I know you probably are like, don't see that here, and praise the Lord, because this is a super spiritually healthy church, and I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor here. I'm telling you, it's because of you. I've had people visit. I've said this before when Greg Moore was here. He said, I've traveled around to a lot of churches, all different sizes. He says, this is one of the most spiritually healthy churches he's ever been in. And that is because your reliance on the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, we're giving him the praise, right? He's the reason that we're a spiritually healthy church. Okay, so we're jumping into this. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech, wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Now, I want to say two things can be true at the same time here. A lot of people will preach that and then say, see, we're not supposed to know anything apart from the finished work of the cross, and then we're supposed to be operating in power. And I would say we are supposed to preach the finished work of the cross, and we are supposed to be operating in power, like what Paul said, so that our faith does not rest on the wisdom of people, but on the power of God. Because we have a lot of people in the church today, or just people in the world in general, that are being swayed to and from, whether it's Christian doctrine or New Age doctrine or whatever tickles our ears, whatever seems to be the most amount of wisdom that's coming in, we go toward, or what appears to be wisdom, we turn to all of these things and we sway back and forth. The Bible talks about as a man who's tossed to and fro by the sea. He's double-minded, unstable in all of his ways. Remember, we talked about keeping our eyes singular. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. So I'm not against preaching the finished work of the cross and seeing the demonstration of power, but we can't just stop there and go, oh, that's all we need to do, preach the finished work and operate in power, because Paul goes on. He says, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. So what is he basically saying to the Corinthians? You are immature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Which is why Jesus cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He did not condemn them. Because this clearly says, if those Romans and the Jewish leaders who gave Jesus up, if they would have known the mystery of God, if they would have known about how the Gentiles were to be grafted in, if they would have known what Colossians chapter 1 calls the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it says, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of a man, all that God has prepared. Everybody say, all that God has prepared. For those who love him. Do you understand? He has everything for you. All the wisdom, all the power, all the healing, all the salvation for those who love him. And if you're like, well, how do I know if I love him? He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then what we're going to learn next week is he says, and this is my commandment, singular, love others as I have loved you. So if you want to love God radically and get all of those things that he's prepared for us to have, your only aim is to love other people radically. That's what he said. I don't want to jump into next week's message. That's about next week's, about commandments, and then it becomes singular commandment. But look what Paul goes on to say. For to us, God revealed them. So to everything that he's saying that you can't know outside of the wisdom of God, Paul is saying, we know it. God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Who searches all things? The Spirit. Even the depths of God. People are like, well, I can't know everything this side of heaven. If that's what you believe, then you won't even attempt to know the depths of God. This apparently, my Bible and your Bible says, the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God, and we're supposed to be baptized in it. For who among men, look at this, this is interesting. For who among men or people knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, or just as, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So if you're born again and Jesus has washed you white as snow, but you've never received the Spirit, this is why you don't know the thoughts of God. This is why you don't know the wonderful thoughts that he has towards you. Because people are like, well, can you really hear God's voice? I've never heard God's audible voice. I've talked to a lot of people that have. But once you receive the Holy Spirit, there's so many ways he talks to you. You could be reading a scripture and then all of a sudden you just start to hear him, and it may not even be in the area of the Bible that you're in. You could be walking around the house vacuuming, and all of a sudden you just know that he's talking to you. And again, it's not an audible voice that's coming from your ceiling, but you who are filled with the Spirit know when God's talking to you. Now look at this. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Paul's saying he and his crew, whoever he's with writing this letter, that they have received the Spirit. Look at this. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. God wants to give you the Holy Spirit so that you can know everything God wants to freely tell you and give you. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. You see Paul developing a pattern here. It's not about the wisdom of the world. It's not about the wisdom of people. It's not about this. It's not about this. It's about receiving the Spirit of God so that he can give you all things, tell you all things. You can know his thoughts. You can know the depths of God. Now, this is important. Look at this. Verse 14. But a natural man. Everybody say natural man. A natural man. That word in the Greek is translated the soulish man. So that word is like psychosis, where we get the word psychology from, which should tell you that we should not be messing around in psychology. Because why? That's the soulish realm, which means it's the worldly realm. Some people will say, well, you know, I got some psychology advice and it worked. I'm not saying that the world doesn't work things out, but I'm saying it's not God's way because it's soulish. So you could say a natural man or a soulish man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. It doesn't say that he doesn't accept God. It doesn't say that he doesn't accept Jesus. It says he doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God. And we know this because, again, there's entire denominations that don't understand the Spirit of God. And do we see a pattern where sometimes people that don't understand things seem to attack things they don't understand? Who is this Jesus? Why is he telling us these things? I think he's possessed by a demon. I think we should take him and throw him off of a cliff. They did that. When he came in his hometown and he read from the scriptures and he says, hey, what I just read, that's talking about me. It says that they tried to throw him off the cliff. We attack things we don't understand. And that's wrong. But if you have the Spirit of God, you will understand. I don't know about you and what your experience was. I've been a Christian since I was 8 years old. I got baptized, water baptized, got my sins forgiven at 8 years old. I did not come to know this Holy Spirit until I was 27. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to be real. I'm holding my phone, but let's pretend this is the Bible because I got the YouVersion app. That was the most boring thing that I've ever read in my life. I'd fall asleep reading it. I'd try to go like to the food court in the mall because this is what my mom did and take notes. I'm like, I just wanted to get it over with. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that thing became alive. So if some of you think the Bible is boring and you're just like, man, I just can't read it, that, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're like, well, are you judging me? You're saying I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if the Bible does not speak to you, if it doesn't become alive to you, if you do not hear the thoughts of God and all of that, then yes, in the name of Jesus, you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a condemnation thing. It's just make sure you get it. It changes your life. So he says, a natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. Why? Why do people who not have the Holy Spirit, why they can't understand them? It says, because they must be spiritually appraised. That word can also be translated discerned. How can you discern or appraise a spiritual thing if you don't have the Holy Spirit? You can't. If you're a natural person, you can naturally discern things, but you're going to only be able to go so far with your natural mind. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual, talking about people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, appraises or discerns all things. Yet he himself is appraised or discerned by no one. That's why we who are filled with the Spirit, when other Christians are like, well, I don't think that's for today, or that just means you want to roll around on the ground, foam at the mouth, and act weird and all of that kind of stuff, they attack what they don't understand. And they can't understand it without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. My brother doesn't mind if I share this because he would tell you it's his testimony. You know, I was off the rails before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was the bad kid. I got the Holy Spirit. And then I started knowing all of these things and seeing it in the Word. And to be honest, my dad and my brother were a little put out because they had Bible college degrees. And all of a sudden, I'm telling them things in the Word that they'd never seen before. And I'm like, don't take my word for it. Dad, brother, just search it out and look at it. And they would, and then they pray over it. And then they're like, I don't understand it, but I see it here. And then my brother would tell you that I thought I was better than him. And I was just like, and you know who have the Holy Spirit, you're just like, I just want other people to have the Spirit. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm telling you, you're missing out on something when you get it. It's awesome. And so once my brother actually finally got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was actually my wife and daughters and us. We were sitting in the car, and he's just like, I want the Holy Spirit. I'm like, good, let's pray for you. He then understood and now tells his testimony that he was wrong. He just didn't understand because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. So let's not judge people that don't have the Holy Spirit. Just look at them and say, they don't know. They're attacking what they don't know. They're making fun of what they don't know. If they knew, then they wouldn't do that. And unfortunately, the only way they're going to know that is if they receive the Spirit themselves. Okay, look at this part. So it says, he who is spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one or discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, but we have the mind of Christ is in the context of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you can't believe in Jesus if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that he is the Son of God, that he did die on the cross, that he has washed you white as snow. But as far as having the mind of Christ himself, only happens in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How could it not? Why would all of this stuff talk about being spiritually appraised, spiritually discerned, a natural person can't understand the things of God, and then just out of nowhere going, hey, but we have the mind of Christ. That must be something different. No, those who are baptized in the Spirit have the mind of Christ. And if you're filled with the Spirit and you're like, I don't know that I have the mind of Christ, it won't work for you. Because you have to believe. All right, I got to wrap this up because I got to go into our next thing here. Okay, so all of this is Paul saying natural people cannot discern spiritual things. You have to be filled with the Spirit. So he goes on. This is in 1 Corinthians 3. Remember, it's just one long letter. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. He's talking to a church. So apparently, it's possible to have a church full of people that don't have the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? You should agree, because it's in the Bible. If you always agree with the Bible, you're always right. Brethren. Now, this is the part. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. He says, brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men. This tells me, without a doubt, you can be born again. You can have your sins washed white as snow and have your passport stamped to heaven without having the Holy Spirit. Because he calls them brethren. Brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual men. But look at the next line. But as to men of flesh. He's saying, brethren, you are fleshly Christians. Brethren, you are carnal Christians. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just saying, be aware of the situation. You are carnal. You're of this world. He's not saying you're evil. He's just saying the way that you think, the way that you process things, you're of the world. Which is why he said at the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so see, many pastors have taken that out of text and going, see, we should just know about the finished work of the cross. No, he's saying, I determined it, I discerned it, because you are carnal Christians. I can't really get into the deep things of God because I can only give you the finished work of the cross. No, I'm not saying the finished work of the cross is something to, you know, look down on. Of course, it's the cornerstone of our faith, but he's saying, I can't move beyond this because you are fleshly, you're carnal. He says, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. So again, he says that they're in Christ, right? They're infants in Christ. He didn't say they weren't saved. He didn't say they were out of Christ, but yet he also called them fleshly men. Do you see how two things can be true at the same time? He says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. Now, this is a letter he wrote to the church, and he's talking about, on my last visit here, I gave you milk, not solid food, because you are fleshly men. I'm not coming down on you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm telling you the state that you're in, which is why I had to give you milk. I gave you milk, past tense, when I was here, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. He can't give the spiritual depths of God to people who don't have the Holy Spirit. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. So he was saying, on my last visit, I had to know nothing amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then I did a bunch of miracle signs and wonders so that your faith would rest on the power of God, not the wisdom of people. That was on his last visit. And he's saying, now I'm writing to you again. I still can't give you solid food. You're not able to receive it. For you, verse 3, are still fleshly. You're still carnal. You're still of this world. Look, it's basically like, well, Paul, how do you know that? You're not even here. Look, he tells us. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere human beings? Did you know we're not supposed to walk like human beings? We're supposed to walk like supernatural, spiritual creatures of God. This is in the negative. Again, it's not condemnation, but he's saying, I can't really go any further than Jesus Christ and him crucified, because you can't receive it because you're not spiritual. Are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men, because you have jealousy and strife? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, again, he's referring to who baptized them. He says, when you act this way, are you not acting like mere human beings? It says mere men in the text, but that's what it's talking about. So this implies that the life Paul wants them to live is supernatural, spiritual being life, not human being life. All right, I want to show you one more scripture, and then we're going to move into this thing. How many of you know, like, when you read the book of James, it seems kind of harsh? You know that he's the half-brother of Jesus? Our Catholic brethren would disagree with us, but I love them. They're wrong. How many of you know that Mary and Joseph had other children? I could show you at least five scriptures in the New Testament. So see through James's harshness, or don't perceive it as harshness. But he's talking about the same concept in James 3, verse 13. We're going to read it quickly, and then we're going to move into our thing. Who among you is wise and understanding? So again, he's dealing with the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God, which we just saw, you only get the wisdom of God if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you're like, well, what about all these Bible scholars that went to Bible college for 8 years, and they went to seminary. A slip of the tongue. I'm not against people that go to Bible college all this time, but if you're just simply there to go there to theology to prove your point, you're there for the wrong reasons. Who among you is wise? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness or meekness of wisdom. So apparently, if you have the wisdom of God, it's doing good deeds in humility. But look, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, sounds familiar when Paul said that you have jealousy and strife. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. How many of you know that the Bible talks about that there is the quote-unquote wisdom of this world? But the Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. So don't try to invest in all of the wisdom of the world, psychology, all of this other kind of stuff. It's secondary. And some of it, if you're not careful, is evil. So it says, this wisdom is not which comes down from above. Now look how James transitions this. He says it's earthly, which means of this world. He says it's natural, which again means of the soul, but then he says it's demonic. So apparently, James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the thinking of this world, the wisdom of this world, the soulish wisdom of this world is not just earthly, it's not just soulish, it's demonic. And look what he says, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Why should we be filled with the Spirit? Because if we get off into the wisdom of the world and all of this other kind of stuff, it's just going to divide us, and it's going to create disorder that where can also be confusion and every evil thing. Look at this. But the wisdom from above, which means the wisdom that we get from the Spirit, is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness. That's our seed that we're sowing. The seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So usually when we hear preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's all about the miracle signs and wonders. It's all about speaking in tongues. And yes, and all of those things are included. But I think many of us don't understand it's not just about the power, even though the power is included. It's not just about the miracle signs and wonders and the healings and all that, even though it's all included. It says everything God wants to give to us. But this is for daily wisdom. This is to be able to read the Bible and have it speak to you. This is to be able to spend time soaking in the presence of God and having him just talk to you for your life. He sent it to guide us through life. I would argue, I don't know how some Christians make it from this life to the next without falling by the wayside, without the Holy Spirit. And you that I'm talking to that once lived in just the water baptism, forgiveness of sins, receiving Jesus, and then maybe later in life receive the Holy Spirit, I'm sure there's not a person in here that has that testimony didn't say, it completely changed my life. I see the word differently. I see people differently. I understand the love of God in a more intense and glorifying way. And I feel like, and I don't mean to quote a movie, but it's in my head, and I'm just going to say it because maybe it'll resonate. It's just like when Morpheus is talking to Neo, and he says, I can't tell you what the Matrix is. You'll have to find out for yourself. So I can tell you everything that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, but and I can tell you it'll make you come alive, it'll put fire on the inside of you, all of these things, but you're not going to really know it until you experience it. Well, how can I experience this, Pastor Josh? That's funny that you ask, because we're going to do that right now. Now, if some of you are like, this is scary, this is weird, I definitely want to be that person that, you know, makes fun of people and throws stones, guess what? You don't have to receive during this time. This is up to you. In the same way nobody twisted your arm to believe on the Lord Jesus, nobody's going to twist your arm on receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, the great thing is you can do it right from your seat. Some people may say, well, I thought you had to do that on the laying on of hands. You can, but how many of you know that when you read the Bible, Jesus heals so many different ways, the Spirit pours out on so many different ways? I think because God knew in our ignorance that we'd somehow try to figure out a formula with this thing. Pentecost, nobody laid hands on, sound of rushing wind, tongues of fire, they all started speaking in tongues. Fast forward, Peter is brought to Cornelius's house, a Gentile. Peter's preaching the word, and as he's preaching, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He's preaching to him. That line is in there. And then it says, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And it's like, well, how did Peter see the Holy Spirit? Because it says that they all started speaking in tongues. Now, this isn't the time that I'm going to tell you about speaking in tongues. If you receive the Holy Spirit today and there's just something welling up on the inside of you and all of a sudden you're just like, I can't hold it in, open your mouth. That's tongues wanting to come out. I'm not going to get into that because I want you to know if you do not speak in tongues, it's not that you didn't receive the Spirit. Because the Bible says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So you just ask and receive in the same way you asked and believed and received on Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some music on. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to probably give some directions. You can go ahead and put the music on. Can you bring the stage lights down to like, just bring them down a little bit. Because this is good. And listen, we're not going to be weird. But I'm not going to not receive or give you the opportunity to receive what you need to receive. Here's the other thing, that some of you may be like, Pastor, I've already received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Great. Do you want more? Because in Acts chapter 2, Peter was part of the people in the upper room that received the Holy Spirit. Then if you go to Acts chapter 4, it says that after they were released, they went and prayed. And they started praying. And as they were praying, the ground was shaken. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul, and I'm like, well, Paul got filled in Acts 2. So then he got filled in Acts 4. So apparently you can be filled lots of times. Some of you may have received the Holy Spirit a long time ago, and you're like, my raging infernal fire is like down to a pilot light, and it's about to go out. You need to be filled again today. And so again, when we go into this time, we're going to bring the music up. Don't look around at your neighbor. Don't worry about if you're like, is God going to mess me up, and I'm just going to start crying and blubbering? Cool. Like, we need to stop worrying about what other people think. And if, my goodness, if you can't get filled with the Holy Spirit in here amongst our brethren, you know, it'd be even weirder if you were just out on the street amongst a bunch of unbelievers. So just be comfortable in here. This is a safe place. Listen, if some of you do not want to receive the Holy Spirit, you're like, I'm just against this. I don't understand it, so I'm going to attack it. I'm not condemning you. I'm not anything. But if you think this is negative or wrong, I'm telling you, when we start, you are more than welcome to leave. There's no condemnation, whatever, because I know that this is a divisive thing. It should never be a divisive thing, but unfortunately in the body of Christ, on average, I would probably say about 20% of the body of Christ, and that's a high estimate, actually have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we are the minority. But how many of you know God works with a remnant? So I'm going to pray, and just right there, if you need to sprawl out a little bit, tell your neighbor, hey, move over a little bit. I'm about to get the Spirit. Just receive it. If you want to put your arms out like you're getting like the best birthday present, Christmas present ever. If you need to get out of your seat and go sit against the wall like and get in a more comfortable position, I don't know. I'm just saying we're going to be respecting the Holy Spirit and just receiving. We're going to do the worship stuff at the end, but this time is for us to just receive. Again, if you feel something coming over you and you let tongues out, we're going to be respectful of that, okay? That was a sign gift. If all of a sudden you start feeling heat and electricity all over your body, that's okay. God won't kill you. He's just giving you His Spirit. If you feel absolutely nothing, just receive it in faith. It happens so many different ways. I'm going to receive for myself. I don't doubt that I don't need another dose of the Holy Ghost. I always want more. So again, you're going to just close your eyes. Don't worry about what your neighbor's doing. And if somebody's eyeballing you, you won't know because your eyes are closed. And if we can bring the music up just a little bit, I still want them to be able to hear my voice, but we're gonna do this. Jesus, your word says that you are the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. We ask, Holy Spirit, right now that you fall on everybody in this room. Fall on them. Those whose hearts are open to receive from you, fall on them, fill them. Christ Jesus, baptize their minds with your Holy Spirit so that they will have your mind, which is love and mercy and peace and light and illumination and truth. Fall on them, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray also that you said Holy Spirit and fire. Lord, baptize them in Holy Spirit and fire. Burn up all the impurities, things that are going on in their life that they just can't shake, that they can't let go of. Burn it all up. Again, just receive, just receive, just have your hands open. And whether you say it out loud or say it to yourself, God hears you even if you pray it in your mind. Just ask Him, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Pour forth from the heavens. Baptize your children, our brothers and sisters. The Holy Spirit is falling on you. He's given you gifts that you didn't have before. Gifts of healing, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, miracles, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. Father, give them their prayer language of tongues, that in their quiet places they can just open their mouth and whatever comes out, that is the Holy Spirit, you Holy Spirit, praying through them. Spirit, consume the areas of our hearts that we've selfishly held on to for ourselves. Blow it up with nothing but purity and righteousness. I come against any thoughts planted by the enemy that this is weird or that this is not biblical. I didn't experience this in my other church. All of these natural demonic thoughts that are coming in, that we recognize them as the enemy, and I would rebuke all of those thoughts in Jesus' name, and saying, we just saw in the scriptures that this is for real. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Says there's no secret sin when it comes to him, and he wants you to receive his fire of that, whatever it is that you just feel like has just been a part of your life so long it's defined you of who you are. Fire fall on those people that want that part finally burned up with righteous holy fire. Like anointing oil, it starts on the head. When they put oil on kings, it ran down their beard, and then it fell to their shoulders and their arms. And that's how the Holy Spirit is called, the anointing. So Father, that it's falling on their heads as it's given them the mind of Christ, and it's just slowly oozing down every part of their body. There may be healings right now breaking out in your body. Bondage that you've been in is just being completely broken off, like a chain just snapping in two in Jesus' name. Again, if you're like, there's something welling up, it almost feels like I'm, you know, it's just going to spill out my mouth. That's tongues. That's your prayer language wanting to come out. Just open up your mouth and do it. Who cares what your neighbor is doing? Everybody's in this holy place. Shut up, Father is saying it's his good pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. My son paid for it. If your eyes are closed, just see our great Lord Jesus touching you with and releasing the Holy Spirit into you. Our Lord is not condemning you if you've received the Spirit a long time ago, but it's almost like you thought he left, or you never talk to him, you never communicate, you don't search the depths of God. The Father says, I was not judging you for that. Just receive it. More. Receive more of my love, more of my grace, more of my mercy, and I'm pouring forth my Spirit on this congregation so that we can go and pour it forth on every person we meet in every mountain that we are in. Is saying you're going to know things now. When you open up the Word, when you sit down in your prayer time, it's going to be so different in a good way. The Father wants you, when you leave here today, to ask Him about the gifts that He's given you. Just ask Him which ones that they are. Begin to flow in them. The Bible says that after they received the Spirit, that they spoke in other tongues, they prophesied, and they gave praise to God. And if some of you are still receiving, don't feel like you got to immediately start singing. Just sit there and receive, receive. Lord, just touch them more. Touch them. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds. The mind of Christ, the heart of Christ. We're going to praise your name for what you've done here today. We're going to praise your name, Jesus, for what you did at the cross. We're going to praise you that you want to give us everything from heaven and put it on the inside of us from the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the refillings. Thank you for the second dose, the third dose. Thank you for first timers that are now, their spiritual eyes are first open for the very first time. Hallelujah. We thank you in advance for everything that's going to come out of this, because it's all you. We are no longer human beings. We are now spiritual, supernatural creatures. Amen.